We're going to start on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph here, right by the Mishnah.
The Mishnah is now going to discuss about the different types of Shavuot that one could take. It says, Echad Dvarim Shel Etzmo, Ve'echad Dvarim Shel Acherim. Doesn't matter whether the Shavuot is taken about his own things or about other people's things. We'll see in a second what that means. Ve'echad Dvarim Sheish Ben Mamash, whether they are tangible items. Ve'echad Dvarim Sheish Ben Mamash, whether they're intangible items. All of these are valid Shavuot. Ketzad. Let's have some examples here. Amar shavua she'etein le'ish ploni, v'shelo etein, or she'natati, v'shelo natati. So that's a shavua that relates to other people, or to whether it's other people's items, that he's saying that I gave something, I will give something, I won't give something, I didn't give something. Now, the intangible shavua that we're talking about here is shishan, v'shelo ishan, I will sleep, I won't sleep. Oshi yashanti, v'shelo yashanti, I did sleep or I didn't sleep. Now there's another intangible item. Rashi says the chiddush here, or the increased chiddush, is that the case of ishan velo ishan, there's at least some purpose to the intangible item. The next case is that it's a purposeless intangible, which is ezrok tzror leyam, shelo ezrok. I will throw this rock into the ocean, I won't throw it in. Shazarakti v'shelo zarakti, I did or I did not throw it into the yam. Meaning that there's another item where there's no mamashut, there's no cheftza on which it's being chal. That it's talking about an action, but here the action is not like Ishan, where there's some purpose to it, but it seems to be, and this is the example that the Gemara uses throughout, when it wants to talk about purposeless action, is about throwing something into the Yam. So also over here, even that is considered to be covered by a Lashon Shavua. Now we get to the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which you've heard many times. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Einu Chayav El Alatid Lavo. That when it comes to Shavuot Bitui, you're only chayav for things that go into the future. That means lahara ulehitiv shenemar. Right? It says lahara ulehitiv means to yes or no, ochal velo ochal. Lahara ulehitiv is talking about in the future tense, to do something or not do something, and that's what's mentioned in the parsha of Shavuot Bitui. So that's only talking about the future tense. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, imkein ein li ela dvarim sheish ben hara'a v'hatava. If that's the case, then Shavuot Bitui should only apply to things that are good or bad, that have some sort of, right, we can make a statement about them, whether they're better or worse, good, bad. What about Dvarim Shein Behem Harava Tava? What about items that are either, again, meaningless or neutral? For instance, like the case here, where he says, I'm going to throw the rock or the stone into the yam. So he says, Minayin, Rabbi Shmuel, how do you know that that's included? So, hello, Miribuya Katuv. There's a ribo in the pasuk, which we won't get to today's daf. That'll be the start of tomorrow's daf. But there's a pasuk that tells us that those types of shvuot will be included in shvuat bitui. So marlo im riba kotuv lekach. If the pasuk for you, Rabbi Shmuel, can include even things that are not hara and atava, then it should also be able to include things that are in the past tense. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. The sheet of Rabbi Akiva is that shvuat bitui applies both to the atid, to the future, as well as to the past, that there are four, again, like the Shtayim Shein Arba, we said before, that is Rabbi Akiva's position. The Tana Rabbanan, this is a fundamental concept that we know from the Gemara in Nidarim, the beginning of Nidarim, which is that there's a difference between Nidarim and Shavuot, a basic difference, and therefore, because of those differences between them, there's a difference in the Halacha, which is Tana Rabbanan, Chomer bin Nidarim bibi Shavuot, Chomer bishavuot midarim. Nidarim have certain Halachot, right, that only apply to Nidarim, that don't apply to Shavuot, and the verse is true as well. Certain things apply to Shavuot that don't apply to Nidarim. What's the Chomer Nidarim? What does Neder have that Shavuot does not have? That is Nidarim Chalim Advar Mitzvah Kedvar Rishut. The Nidarim have the ability to be Okere Mitzvah or to be Chalan Mitzvah, and we do not say violate the Neder in order to be Mikayim the Mitzvah, or we don't say that the Neder is being Okere Davar Min HaTorah. On the other hand, Mashen Kein B'Shavuot, that's not true in Shavuot. We'll come back and discuss this in a second. Chomer B'Shavuot, what does the Tzad Shavuot have that does not apparent by Nidarim? Shavuot Chalot Al Devar Shein Bo Mamash, K'Devar Sheyesh Bo Mamash. Shavuot have the ability to work both with tangible and intangible items, whereas Mashen Kein B'Nidarim, but Nidarim, they only work with tangible items. Now, the fundamental difference between a Shavua and a Neder, which is laid out in the Gemara in Nidarim, is that a Shavua is the Gavro. Right, that's something that dictates to the Gavra, Isur, or Heter, or obligation for what the Gavra does. Whereas the Neder focuses on the Cheftza, and whether the Cheftza is Asur or Mutar. So now we can understand the difference between them. Again, when it comes to intangible items, Well, if you talk about a neder being chal on the chepza, on the object itself, you can't have an intangible item be the chepza, right? Because you have to have a chepetz on which the neder is chal. If it's an intangible item, you're missing the fundamental point, a fundamental object on which the neder can be chal. So therefore, neder is not, by definition, chal on a davar she'en bo mamash, on an intangible item. Whereas the shvua, which focuses on the gavra, on the individual, that doesn't matter what the object of the shvua is. It doesn't matter whether it's a tangible or intangible item. It's an obligation on the gavra. And you can obligate a person, or a person can obligate themselves to do, to eat, to sleep. They can net intangible items because they're talking about actions of the gavra. Actions of the gavra can be even intangible items, not necessarily tangible items. That's as far as the shvuot. Now, what about mitzvah? Now, when it comes to mitzvah, the easiest way to explain this is the way that most of the mefarshim explain it, which is that when it comes to a mitzvah, what you're not allowed to do is have you, the gavra, do go against the Torah. Or you can do something, take your mushav omid har sinai. You can't have a shvuah that's chal on another shvuah. So if the Torah commands you to do something, you cannot take a shvuah that obligates the individual to do something against the Torah. That is not permissible. That's why a shvuah is a problem. You can't change. You're already pre-obligated by the Torah. The gavra is pre-obligated by the Torah. Now, when it comes to a neder does not work on the individual. It works on the object. So, for instance, let's say by matzah or by sukkah, if you say that this sukkah is asur to me. Now, when that sukkah, you can become the mitzvah of sukkah because this isn't the only sukkah in the world. There are other sukkot in the world. And you, as a gavra, have not restricted yourself from being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. All you have said is that this sukkah in particular will not be available for you to be mekayim the mitzvah. Now, it happens to be that's the only sukkah in town. But, again, you haven't, by definition, been okir the mitzvah. You've simply said that this sukkah cannot be the object with which I mekayim the mitzvah. So, therefore, a neder is not okir the mitzvah. And that's why a neder is chalan mitzvah, whereas a shvuah is not chalan a mitzvah. Possible based on the way that we've defined it, which Shaul is asking, which is that if you say that I will not, every sukkah in the world is a sur for me to get benefit from, there's a possibility. It doesn't have to be that would not work, because then you are okir the mitzvah. On the other hand, Rav Soloveitchik says it does not matter whether you take a shvuah that encompasses the entire mitzvah. For instance, you take a shvuah about a particular item or a particular sukkah, nevertheless, that'll be problematic. Whereas if someone takes a neder, like what we just suggested over here, a neder that incorporates or encompasses all sukkot, that also will not be a problem. Why is that? Because the nature of a shvuah versus the nature of a neder. The nature of a shvuah is that it goes head on. I mean that it is now taking on the fact that the Torah obligates me to do something, and a shvuah comes to try to undo that, or tries to undermine that by changing the status of the gavra. So therefore it's a direct contradiction to the Torah, and therefore it is impermissible. As opposed to that, a neder, even if it ends up being okir et kol mitzvah, nevertheless, it always does it in an indirect manner. It's not saying, oh, you the gavra who's chayav, don't be chayav. It's saying, well, you can't use all of these objects. Well, since you get all these objects, the outcome, or the pol yotze of that statement, is that you can't do the mitzvah. So since neder is always formulated in an indirect way, therefore, it's permissible, or it's not a problem being okir at the mitzvah. And then shvua, again, no matter how it's formulated, because it goes head on and contradicts the mitzvah, therefore it'll always be a surah, will never be able to overcome the problem of mitzvah. Now, Josh asked over here, what about the fact that mitzvah lav lehenu nitnu? What do you mean? How can you take a neder about a chayfetz and then say you can't do the mitzvah? Mitzvah lav lehenu nitnu. So let him violate the neder because he's not really in violation of the neder. So it turns out that Rav asked the same question as Josh in the Gemara in the Darim on Ted Zion would bet. Rav asked the exact question, is it mitzvah lav lehenu nitnu? So why is it a problem when you take a neder? Rav over there answers that he says or formulates a neder as yeshivat sukkah alai, that he focuses on a specific action and not on the hanoah in general. There the Ran quotes the Tosafot, and according to Tosafot, he asks the question, what's the difference between what he says yeshiva or hanoah? So Tosfos explains the difference is that when you speak about Hana in general, then you didn't have in mind to osur the mitzvah, because mitzvah lav la'anot didn't know. On the other hand, when you speak about a specific action, like yeshiva, or zrika, or any particular action that you're focused on, in that instance, we don't say mitzvah lav la'anot didn't know. Because you focused on a particular action, and not on the Hana, that action is asur, even in the face of a mitzvah. And that's where the neder will overcome the mitzvah, even though we say mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. Now we raise this question back on Yutet and Chof. What happens if a person takes a shvu'ah b'lashon neder? What happens if a person takes a shvu'ah on the chefetz? He says, kikar zu alai b'shvu'ah. So he loses a lashon neder, he focuses on the chefetz, but he says it as a shvu'ah. So Tosfot over here actually brings three opinions that match with the three opinions that we said and we had discussed in Yutet Amud Bet and Chof of an Alf. The Rabbeinu Tam says that if you say Shvua b'lashon neder, it's garnished. Nothing. Doesn't work. That's the fundamental difference between. You want to know the difference between a Shvua and a neder? Exactly that. Shvua means gavro. Neder means cheftza. You take a Shvua on a chefetz, you haven't taken a Shvua. You've done nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the position of the Rabbeinu Tam. That's also the position of Tosafot in Nidorim, which is probably following the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as the Ran quotes there, in Nidorim quotes the Shita Tarach, the Rashba, and the Ibn Gash, that all of them have the same opinion, that a Shvua, Tarikim Elashon Neder, is garnished. So in that case, then it's easy to understand here the distinction. It's a clear distinction between Nidorim and Shvot. Shvot can never be Oker to Mitzvah, because it can never be on a Chavetz. Nidorim, which are on a Chavetz, can be Oker the Mitzvah. On the other hand, there are two other opinions brought down by the Tosafot here. There's the Tosafot. The first opinion in Tosafot is very similar to the Balamor and Rashi, which is that if you take a shvua b'lishon neder, it works. It works. You have a shvua on a chayfetz. It works like that. You can have a shvua on a chayfetz. And if you have a shvua on a chayfetz, you can be okra mitzvah through a shvua. The problem for those opinions, the Balamor and Rashi and over here, is how do they explain the Gemara? The Gemara said that an ikar distinction between shvua and neder is exactly this point. That one of them is chalan and mitzvah, one's not chalan and mitzvah. So you have to say that either the one explanation is that when we're talking about ikar shvua and ikar neder, this type of shvua that we're talking about is an unusual form of shvua, or the other alternative which Tosafot speaks about over here is the possibility that I can say by a neder, any neder that I would take on a dvar reshut, I can also take on a dvar mitzvah. Any neder I would take is always on a chefetz, and therefore it's always okay to take it neged a mitzvah. And then shvua is not that way. Any shvua that I would take on a reshut does not necessarily work by mitzvah. It only works in the particular case where I took the shvua on the chefetz, does it work? But that's not true of all shvuot, or not all shvuot that I take on reshut will also apply to mitzvah. That's the way Tosfos explains it. Tosfos brings a opinion of the Rabbeinu Achanan b'shem Ari, which is actually very similar to the shita of the Ramban that we saw. The shita of the Ramban is that a shvua on the chefetz doesn't work to make it into a shvua l'chefetz, but it works to make it into a shvua. Why? Because shvua b'lashon neder is like a yad. It's the equivalent of a yad. It's like using some sort of function or speech to get you to the outcome that you want. The outcome you want is a shvua. So since we know piv v'libo shavim, he wants to create a shvua. He did it derech a chefetz. So okay, fine, he did it derech a chefetz, but that doesn't mean that he really means it. So we alter his lashon. If he may say chayfetz, we say you meant gavra, and it works like a shvua. So that's the shita of the Ramban and the shita of the Rabbeinu Elchanan in the Shem Ari, that a shvua b'lishon neder turns, if it's on the chayfetz, turns into a gavra. And again, there you won't have a problem distinguishing, because again, you can't create a shvua on the chayfetz. Even if you do it, it doesn't end up being a shvua on the chayfetz, it ends up being a shvua on the gavra, because we just alter your lashon to come out in that manner. There was a difference between a shvua and a neder. Now, the Mishnah gives examples. Ketzad, what are these types of shvua that you can have? It says, Amar shvua she'etein leploni v'shelotein. I will give or I won't give such an object to an individual. Ma'etein, what are you saying that you're going to give? Ilei matztaka li'ani. What are you saying? I'm going to give tztaka to a poor person. Mushva v'omeid mahar sinayu. You're already obligated me in a Torah to give tztaka. She says, Nemar naton titein lo. That you're obligated to give tztakah to ani, that obligation already supersedes or is prior to the obligation that you're creating through your shvua, and therefore it's a shvua chalal shvua, or yisr chalal shvua, and doesn't work. So Gemara says, Ela, it must be the case of matana le'ashir, I meant a gift to a wealthy person. I'm not talking about tzedakah over here. It's a regular gift. A gift that you're giving to your friend, giving that you're giving to Ashir, not a form of tzedakah, but rather just a generic gift that's being given. Over here, that's what we're talking about, the Shavua. Tosafot does prove from over here that Mushva ba'omed mehar Sinai applies not only to Isurim, not only to a lav, but also over here we see it applies to, of course, to an asay, but also applies to Isur asay. Meaning that the obligation to give tzedakah, and if one refrains from giving tzedakah, or someone takes a shvua that they will not give tzedakah, that will not work. Even though there may not be any lav, but assuming there's no lav, that Tosa says that the Isra say generated by an aton nitain lo will be enough to be considered or classified as mushva ve'omid mehar Sinai. So therefore, mushva ve'omid mehar Sinai applies to anything that has either a lav, an asay, or an Isra asay. The only exception that we saw in Tosfos yesterday is something that's just an Isur min haTorah that has no manifestation as an asay, a lav, or an Isur asay. You're entering a parsha that we did in Nidorim. I wasn't going to spend time on it today, but that's what's called Nidrei Tzedaka. Nidrei Tzedaka and Shvua L'Kayem Et HaMitzvah. Shvua L'Kayem Et HaMitzvah happens to be a machloket rishonim. There are actually multiple opinions about this, whether they work at all, whether they can be mechayev you at all, whether they're not chal at all. That's a machloket I think we'll see in Daf Chav Zayin. Nidrei Tzedaka is a sugya in Nidorim that does work. Why it works or how it works, we're not going to discuss today, but we could say that the obligation of Nidrei Tzedakah is just the obligation to give the money, or it obligates you to present the money, not to the particular individual, not to necessarily give tzedakah. But there is such a concept called Nidrei Tzedakah, and in that fashion, or in that sense, you are correct that you can make such a ned there, even though it's on the mitzvah. The Havah, the meaning of the Gemara, truthfully, is not so strong. I mean, just the Gemara is saying, you know, trying to figure out what's the case, and just through that, it just mentions, okay, well, giving tzedakah is mushva ve'omid mehar Sinai. You'll see that the next question also, you'll see the next question in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have a strong question here. The Gemara is just probing or plumbing the issue to see, make sure that they got it all right here and exactly what the case is. But Tzvi, I think you're right. It's not, these aren't such steadfast rules over here. All right, so next one is, Shishan v'shalo Yishan. The Gemara says, Ini. Person who says that I take a shvua that I will not sleep for 3 days, malkinoto, give him malkot, v'yishan le'alter, and he should go to sleep right away, because it's impossible for a person to stay up for 3 days straight, and therefore you can't. That shvua is already a right shvat shav from the moment you take it. The moment you take it, it's impossible for you to do it. It's a shvat shav right away. You get your malkot right away and go to sleep, because there's no way that you can do this. So how can we say Shua Shisham Shalo Yishan? The answer is simple. And Tzvi, this is the answer to your question about the Gemara is not asking such complicated Havaminas here. What's the answer? The Gemara is Hotam Damar Gimel, Achalo Amar Gimel. Very simple. Rabbi Yochanan's time of case where he takes a Shua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Our Mishnah's time of the case, just I won't sleep for today. I won't sleep for 5 hours. I mean, they take a Shua. Gemara is easy to come up with a case that fits into the Mishnah. That's not Rabbi Yochanan. So again, the Gemara is just, I think, bringing down these other halachot to mention them, but not because they're strong havaminas to assume that the Mishnah was speaking about this case or wasn't speaking about this case. Just I will remind you that there happens to be a machlokes between the Ran and the Rambam over here. When it comes to Yishan, Shvua Shlo Yishan, the Gemara is clear. We say Shvua that I will not sleep for 3 days. Then we say get malkot right away, go to sleep. Then a person says Shvua Shlo Et Om. I take a Shvua that I will not taste, I will not eat something. Then what do we do? So a person says Shavua Shlo Yitom that I will not eat anything. That person for sure cannot be mikayim that shua, because in the end he must eat. The question is, what do we do at that point in time? Do we say, okay, since he will have to eat in the end anyway, it's a shua shav from the moment he takes it, and therefore we say to give him malkot now and go ahead and eat, or the alternative, which is the Ran, he doesn't eat until he is at the point of Bikuach Nefesh. When he reaches the point of Bikuach Nefesh, then we say to him, go ahead and eat, because Bikuach Nefesh will allow you to overcome or to violate the Shvua. So then it's not a Shvua Chav. It's just a Shvua that you will never be able to be Mekayim, but you have to keep it till the point of Bikuach Nefesh. And the distinction is clear. By Shvua Shlo Yishan, by case of Sheina, by case of sleep, Right? There it's impossible. There is no way you could do this, and there's nothing about pikuach nefesh. You're just going to fall asleep. We know for certain up front that you're going to fall asleep. There's no point of pikuach nefesh. You don't reach a point of pikuach nefesh. Your body is overcome by exhaustion, and it goes to sleep by itself. You fall asleep. There is nothing to talk about. So that's how we know it's going to be shav. There's no way you can be mekayem this. Means, yes, I will not eat, but I will reach a point where it will be pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh is a heter to violate the shvuah. Well, that heter to violate the shvuah may not be a violation of the shvuah. That's the heter of pikuach nefesh. But that might be exactly why the Shita Rambam doesn't see it that way. Shita Rambam says you can't take a shvuah that brings you to the point where you're going to end up in a pikuach nefesh to violate the shvuah. That's already a shvuat shav. Shvuat shav that obligates you to reach the point of pikuach nefesh to violate the shvuah is a shvuat shav. The Rambam on the other hand says no. That's fine. Take the shvuah, wait till pikuach nefesh, and then you'll violate the neder once you reach the point of pikuach nefesh. So that's a happens to be machlokes harishonim against shlosh shvuah shlo yitom versus shvuah shlo yishan. Right. Well, truthfully, he's not in danger. He'll never reach the point of danger. He reaches the point where if he continues to going, he'll be pikuach nefesh. At that point, that's when the obligation of shmata v'nafshu techem kicks in. That's the threshold. The threshold where he reaches the obligation of shmata v'nafshu techem is the point where he will eat. The next case in the Mishnah, shezrok tzor liyam shlo ezrok. I will throw a rock into the yam and will not throw. Itmar, so this is shvua, shezarak ploni tzor liyam v'shelo zarak. Take a shvua, this individual threw a rock into the ocean or the sea, and I think a shvua that he did not throw a rock into the sea. Problems of machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, this machlokas will occupy us for the remainder of the daf. Rav amar chayav, Shmuel amar patur. Rav says that type of shvua you're going to be chayav for shvuat bitoy. Shmuel says you're patur. Why? Rav amar chayav ite belav behein. You can formulate this shvua in the positive and the negative. You can say shvua that he did throw it, shvua that he did not throw it. So I can formulate it positive, negative, no problem. That's hara oleitiv. Positive, negative, you can formulate that, no problem. Shmuel amar patur. Why does Shmuel say patur? Lete belahaba. Shmuel requires you to equate that any shvua that you take has to be able to manifest itself both in hain and lav, the positive and negative, as well as the future and past. You have to be able to give it in all four of those permutations. You have to be able to create the shvua. Now, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the machlokas between them could be about a shvua lahaba. When it comes to a shvua lahavar, when it comes to taking a shvua about the past, we know what the obligation is. The obligation is to tell the truth. Right, that's easy. When you're talking about shvua about the past, there's only one obligation. We want you to tell the truth. When it comes to shvua l'haba, when it comes to shvua to in the future, what's your obligation? Is the obligation to make the shvua come true? Is that your obligation to make sure that the shvua comes true? Just like when you take a shvua in the past, we want you to tell the truth. So to in the future, obligation is to make sure that the shvua becomes true. Or is when you take a shvua l'haba, does it now become like any other Isura Torah? You've just created an Isura Torah. You've become an assay of the Torah. Comes an essay in Isur. It has nothing to do with making sure that the hafla'ah, that statement that you made, is true. It's simply now you're obligated. You're obligated in the Isur, or you're obligated, right, in the essay that you created. What's the difference? Well, that might be actually the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel over here. Rav, who says over here that we are only interested in whether you can create in the hein or lav, the positive and negative, we don't look for an equation between avar and haba. That might be because in avar and haba, the shvot are different shvot. The shvot in the avar is about telling the truth. The shvua l'haba is that you've generated an isur, you've generated an assay. It's a different form of shvua. So to equate them doesn't make so much sense. On the other hand, Shmuel might feel that what a shvua l'haba, the obligation is to ensure that the shvua comes true. So just like the obligation in the past is to ensure that you tell the truth, so do the obligation in the future is to ensure that the shvua comes true. In that instance, you could create an equation that shows, or some sort of equation says that only when I have all permutations does the shvua bitui work, because the shvua avar and haba are really all a subset of one obligation to tell the truth, or to ensure that the truth, your statements are true. That your statements come true whether they're said about the past, or statements are true whether they come in the future, and that might be the position of Shmuel. So now the Gemara is going to look for the machlokas between them. Let us say that Shmuel and Rav are arguing in the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, truthfully, the Havami of the Gemara here is not very strong, because it's clear that it's not going to work. But we'll try anyway. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah. Shmuel says you're only chayav for that which is in the future. Because it Because that's what it says. It says, La'ra'li'iti, which is stated in the future tense. So the Shvuat Bitui only has application in the future. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, im kein en li'ed l'dvarim sheish ben ra'ava tava. Then only have things that deal with good and bad. Dvarim sheish ben ra'ava tava, things that don't deal with good and bad, minayin. How do I know that your chayev and Shvuat Bitui, as long as it's said in the future? Amar lo, mi riboy ha'katuv. I have that from the riboy of the pasuk. The pasuk has a riboy again. We'll see in tomorrow's daf. Amar lo, im riba ha'katuv l'kach, riba ha'katuv l'kach. The pasuk can include things that are not lahara loitiv, meaning that they're not good and bad, then it can also obligate you, or it can make you chayav in objects that are not in the future, but also in the past. That's no problem. So now, Rav Damark Rabbi Akiva. Rav's like Rabbi Akiva. I can have a shvuah in the past, I can have a shvuah in the future. Either one is an obligation shvuah bitui. That's what Rav says. Rav says, here, you take a shvuah about the past, you say that this person did throw a rock, this person did not throw a rock, that you can be chayav for. Ushmol Damark Rabbi Shmol. Shmol holds like Rabbi Shmol, which is that only things in the future, Rabbi Shmuel says only in the future can you be chayav. Things from the past, you cannot be chayav. Now it's clear that Shmuel doesn't hold that. Right? We know that because Shmuel didn't say that. All Shmuel said is that you could be chayav in the past as long as you could also formulate it in the future, or you can make it as a shvuah for the future. But if you can't formulate it as a shvuah for the future, you're not chayav in the avar. So the Tosfos points out that it's, of course, that Shmuel's not speaking here. This is the Gemara trying to figure out and to establish what the machlokas is, so they're, you know, working down a path. But it's clear, or it's obvious, that Shmuel does not hold like Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara's answer is, Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel kuli amelo plige. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no machlokas over here. Now, truthfully, Shmuel's halacha can work according to Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel will say in this case, where you say that so-and-so threw a rock, or so-and-so did not throw a rock, you're patur. Rabbi Shmuel would say you're patur because there's no Shvat Bitui in the Avar. Shmuel would say you're patur because you can't formulate it in the future, but they at least agree. Rab, for certain, will have to argue on Rabbi Shmuel because Rab says you're chayav, and there's no way Rabbi Shmuel can ever figure out in Rabbi Shmuel a way to have that be chayav because it's in the past. So where's Ashto Milto to Ita Balaba Lo Mechayev Alo Rabbi Shmuel? Something about the future, Rabbi Shmuel's not Mechayev. Leshavar Milto the Leita Balami Boy? Something that's talking about the past tense that has no manifestation, no ability to be in the future. Of course, over there, he's going to say patur. So again, according to Shmuel, it can fit because the conclusion of the halacha is the same. The halacha will be the same, which is that you're both patur. Whereas for Rav, there's no way he can say this because the fact that he says chayav on something in the avar, he cannot fit into Rabbi Shmuel. Ki plige alibi de Rabbi Akiva. They argue according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rav will be like Rabbi Akiva. Rav says, future, past, whatever you want, Shvuat Bitui, it turns out in all cases. So Rav says, I'm like Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, so basically Rav says, I'm like Rabbi Akiva, and I'm against Rabbi Shmuel. I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says, Ad kan lo mechayev Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says, I can fit into Rabbi Shmuel, and I can fit into Rabbi Akiva. Because Ad kan lo mechayev Rabbi Akiva, atom l'sha'avar. When is Rabbi Akiva mechayev in the past? Ela milto, di'it b'laba. When you can create such a shvuah in the future. So that's mechayev Rabbi Akiva, l'sha'avar. Aval mi de'let b'laba lo. But something that you cannot create a formulation in the future tense, over there, Rabbi Akiva does not allow you to make a shvuah in the avar. Does not say you're chayav for a shvuah that's taken in the past tense. Why over here can you not take a shvuah l'aba? Because what is your statement? Your statement is shvuah. You take a shvuah that that individual threw a rock, or that individual did not throw a rock. Well, guess what? Next, what's the atid? What's the future formulation of that? Well, Mr. and so and so will throw a rock in the future, or Mr. So-and-so will not throw a rock in the future. Guess what? You have no control over that. That's not something you control. You cannot take a shvuah, and this is what Rashi claims over here. Rashi claims that it's a shvuat shav automatically. At the moment that you take it, it's a shvuat shav because you have no control. How can you take a shvuah about somebody else when you have no control of whether they do or don't throw the rock? It's a shvuah shav because it's out of your hands. That's Rashi's interpretation. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Mishnah Torah, says no. It's not a shvuah shav. It's just not a shvuah bitui, right? It's not a shvuah bitui because we just don't know what you can't create it. You're not in control over here. You can't obligate yourself, or you cannot not, you know, make an isur for yourself. But whether it's a shvuah shav will depend on the other individual. If not mekayim, then it's a shvuah shav. If he is mekayim it, then it's not a shvuah shav. So the shvuah shav will have to wait until in the future when we see what this individual does. But that's not a shvuat shav up front. On the other hand, Rashi says, as soon as it's out of your hands, shvuat shav from the moment you make it. Right, so now Gemara says, okay, that can't be the machloket. Let's say, lema, the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel is about this. Beplukto, de Rabbi Yehuda ben Betei Rabbi Rabbonon. Let us say that the machlokas over here is between Rabbi Yehuda ben Betei and the Rabbonon, similar to Rabbi Shmuel. What's that? Ditnan. We have a mishmah. Nishba levatel te mitzvah lo bitel patur. Person who takes a shvuat to be mevatel a mitzvah, garnished. Doesn't work. This is what your shaul you were asking about yesterday. It just doesn't work. Nobody thinks that that can work. If you take a shvua to be mevatel the mitzvah, it's no go. On the other hand, the kayim the mitzvah, a person takes a shvua to be mekayim the mitzvah, velo kiyem, and in the end, he does not mekayim the mitzvah, patur. Again, there is such a concept of taking a shvua to kayim the mitzvah, but again, if he doesn't do it, it will be patur in the end. Shaul, you were asking about that before, about taking the darim and taking shvua that are the kayim the mitzvah over here. In the end, you are patur. You're not going to be chayav in those instances, even though we talk about there are such concepts as taking a shvua to kayim the mitzvah to mizarez himself to do such. So now, Shayyab Adin, Shay Chayav, Kedivre Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. You really should have been Chayav. You should have been obligated to bring a Korban when you violate a Shvua, that's the Kaimit Mitzvah. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Dam Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Ma im harashut. When you're talking about things that are mundane items that have nothing to do with the Torah, Shainu Mushbale Mehar Sinai, that he has no obligations from the Torah, Haru Chayav Aleh. Now that he took a shvua, he's going to make himself obligated in a korban. He's going to put himself into a position where if he violates it, he's going to have to deal with the consequences of it. Then, of course, when it comes to something, we're talking about a mitzvah, shemush b'alem har Sinai, that he's already mitzvah from har Sinai, inudin shechayav chayav aleh, then certainly over there, if you take a shvua, you should be chayav. Because over there, you are obligated, and you take a shvua to do the same obligation, then certainly you should be chayav. If you can generate new isurim or new obligations, then why can't you affirm existing obligations? So remember, lo, ima marta b'shvuat ha-reshut, shkena sa ba'lav kehain. No, by shvuat ha-reshut, you have the ability to formulate the shvua both in the positive and the negative, which is shvua that I will eat, shvua that I will not eat. On the other hand, when it comes to a shvua mitzvah, right? So there, what are you going to say? Shkein lo asa lav kehein? You can't formulate in a negative form. You can't say, I will do this mitzvah, I will put on tefillin, but then you can't say, I will not put on tefillin. You can never formulate it in the negative side. Right, of course, and if you're talking about Isurim, it'll be the other way around. You can formulate in the negative side, which you say, I will not eat Nevelot, but you cannot say, I will eat Nevelot. So since you can't formulate it in the positive and negative form, right, then it will not become a Shavua. That's not a Shavua. A Shavua requires, there's a basic requirement in a Shavua that you have Hain and Lav, that there be Davar v'chilufo. You're able to formulate both the negative and the positive side. But what you see from this is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira does not have that basic requirement. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira doesn't believe you can have to. You have to be able to do a Hain and a Lav. So that's what I'm going to say. Rav Tagamar to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Rav hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Just like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira says there's no obligation to have the Shvua work both in Hain and Lav in the positive and negative formulation, so too you will not have the obligation to formulate it both in the past and the future tense. Shmuel Amarka Rabbanan. And Shmuel hold like the Rabbanan, which is Shmuel will say, just like over here where the Rabbanan require you to have a Shvua be both in the positive and negative formulation, so too they require it to be that it can be the formulated in the permutations of both the past and the future. So Gemara says no. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira kuliyama lo plige. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, nobody argues. So first of all, Shmuel for sure cannot agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. There's no question about that. If he doesn't require hain and lav, then he's certainly not going to require avar and atid. All right, but Rav can say, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. That's no problem. Just like he says over here, no hain and lav, he also holds no avar and atid. I can hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. That's no problem for me. But where do they do? Ki plige aliba de Rabbonon. They argue in the position of the Rabbonon. Shmuel ki Rabbonon. Shmuel holds like the Rabbonon. Shmuel says, Hain and Lav, if you can't have the both permutations or both manifestations, the positive and negative, it's not a Shavua. So too, if you can't have the past and the future, it's not a Shavua. So I hold like the Rabbonon. V'Rav, Rav will say, I also hold like the Rabbonon. I can hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, but I also can hold like the Rabbonon. Why? Rav, ki lo mechayev Rabbonon b'lav v'hein. Where the Rabbanan, where are they not Mechayev, is B'lav Hain. That's what they yes and no, meaning that a positive and a negative formulation. Dichtiv, because that's explicit in the Pasuk. Lahara Leitiv Behedjo. That's explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, the obligation to have it be Lahara or Leitiv, to be a positive and negative formulation. Aval Lahabal Shavar, Habal Shavar is not found in the Pasuk. The Atid is found in the Pasuk, but the Avar is from Miribuye de Krayatu. So if there it come from it, Mechayev, there they will be Mechayev, even if there is no ability to create it in the past or the in the future, meaning that we won't have that obligation to have them be balanced in that way, because there's no necessity. It's not explicitly mentioned in the pasuk. The ribuy of the pasuk brings in the avar independently. It can stand by itself. It does not require the atid in order to make the avar work. Right, so that would be Gemara now tried twice to explain the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel according to a machloket Tanaim. Both times the Gemara rejects it. In the first case, the Gemara says that Rav will definitely say that the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is a machloket Tanaim. Then Shmuel can reconcile with both Tanaim, and Rav will have to hold like Rabbi Akiva. In this case, right, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda ben Mteira Abonon. Over here, the Gemara says that certainly Shmuel will have to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Mteira, but he can agree who will hold like the Rabbanon, and Rav can say I can hold like either one, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Mteira or the Rabbanon, and we can't prove anything from here. So now, Meitiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna has a question on this, which is Lo achalti ayom. Takes a shvua that he did not eat today. Vilo nachti tefillin ayom, and I did not put on tefillin today. So he says, Mashbiach ani. The person says, I'm taking a shvua to such. You know, take a shvua. V'amar mein. He says, yes, I take a shvua. Chayav. He's chayav. What was the case that he just gave over here? He says, Vilo nachti tefillin ayom. He says that I did not put on tefillin today. Well, let's try to work this out. Lo anachti tefillin ayom is a past formulation. Well, what will be the future formulation of that? The future formulation of that will be, I will not put on tefillin in the future. Well, that'll be a problem for Shmuel. According to Rav, it's fine because, okay, you can take a shvua in the past, even though you can't formulate it in the future, right? In the future. But that's not true for Shmuel over here. Shmuel only says you're chayav in the past when you can formulate it in the future. And you cannot formulate such a shvua, which is shvua shal niach tefillin. If you take a shvua that I will not put on tefillin, that's mushba vol made mar sinai. That's against the Torah. You can't take such a shvua. So Gemara says, Bishloma lo achalti ite. The ochalti can work according to Shmuel because I can say below ochal. I will not eat in the future. El aloha nachti, if you said I did not put tefillin in the past, mi ite below aniach. You can never formulate in the future sense, which is that I will not put on tefillin. So hu motiv la vehu mefarik la. He asked the question and he answered the question from Vamnuna. Let's tadim ktani. You split this case up. Lo achalti le korban. Lo hanachti le malkot. Talking about different issues. Bayidi lo achalti is going to be chayav a korban because that's shvata bitui. So therefore, you can take it. Lo achalti in the past tense, if he was wrong about that, that's shvata bitui. He'll bring a korban for that if he was a shogeg. Lo hanachti, in the case where he takes a lo hanachti tefillin, he's going to take in that case, the punishment, or if he did it in a way that was mezid and he knew about it, then it'll be a shvat sheker, and a shvat sheker will get malkot for that. But he cannot be chayav a shogeg, he cannot be chayav a korban olev yoreid. Because where is that requirement of lahara lo itiv? Where is the requirement of latid and leavar? That's all in the parsha of korban olev yoreid, in the parsha of shogeg by shvat bitui. But when it comes to mezid by shvat bitui, that's being violating a regular law. Violating a regular law, even Shmuel agrees, if you violate a law, you tell a shvat sheker, you're going to get malkot for that. So Shmuel can agree to that part, that you get malkot, but not korban. So that's for it. Let's ladim ktani. Lo achalti is a case of korban, right? Lo anachti is a case of malkot. Right now, Meitiv Rava. Rava has a shiloh. Eze shvuat shav. What's a shvuat shav that we have that's coming up in the Mishnah on Chaf Terem and Aleph? What's a shvuat shav? Nishba lishnot et yadua l'adam. He takes a shvuat to change something that is well known to people, which is varmar lamud shelevin. He takes a pillar of stone and says shuz yelzav. It's made out of gold. Right, so that's everybody knows that's not the case. That is a shvuat shav. So now we have a qualification. Omar Ula, v'hu shenikar legimul b'nei adam. That's as long as three people have knowledge of the fact. I mean, as long as three people know about what you're talking about, that is already, which is Rashi calls it, mida diyadu beitzlat b'nei adam avim fursam. Something that three people know about it is well known, and therefore it's a shvuat shav. Why is it a shvuat shav? Because it's well known. We don't even have to check. We don't have to check whether your shvuah is true or not. We know from the moment you take it that it's false. On the other hand, if nobody knows about it, then we have to go investigate the shvuah. Where's that pillar that he talked about? We have to go see what type of pillar is it? So on and so forth. If you have to check into it already, that becomes a shvuah checker and not a shvuah shav. In that case, because it has to be investigated, we have to check whether what your statement was true or not true. So over here, that's the qualification. Now, the Gemara says, Taimo de nikar. That's only because we know about it. Halo nikar. Had he not known about it, if no three people don't know about it, over mishum shvuat bitui, you're in violation of shvuat bitui. So that's it. The Gemara's qualifications. Here's shvuat shav. Shvuat shav is when three people know about it. If it's not three people knowing about it, then what does it become? It becomes a shvuat bitui. Well, let's think about the formulation. This is a shvuat bitui, right? How could that be? Vamai. I know this is a problem for Shmuel again. Over here, he's talking about in the past tense. He's saying this pillar of stone is gold. Well, how are you going to formulate that in a future? What are you going to say? This pillar will be gold in the future? I mean, that's an impossible shvua. You can't take such a shvua in the future. So how can you have a shvua bitui that's talking in the past tense when you can't formulate it in the future tense? So he says, "Umutiv lav umefarikle." Rav asked the question and he answered the question. It's nikar over mishum shvuat shav. When it comes to nikar, when you know, when the three people know about it, then when you take the shvua up front, it's a shvuat shav right away. Lo nikar, if people don't know about it, then it's over mishum shvuat sheker. You're not violating Shvat Bitoy, but rather you're violating Shvat Sheker. So Shvat Sheker is not under the demands of a Shvat Bitoy. So it says Shvat Sheker, you'll get Malkot, you get punished for that, independent of whether you can formulate in the future or not the future, because it's Sheker. That's a Shvat Sheker. All right. Amar Abaye. Now Abaye makes a statement about Rav, which is Umode Rav. Rav agrees. Be'omer l'chaveiro, a person says to his friend, Shvua shani yodelecha idut. I'm taking a shvua that I know testimony for you. Veshtakach dolo yodale. And then we find out that he doesn't have testimony for him. Patur. In that case, he's patur. Why? Because what's the problem? Hoyo velete bichlal shani yodelecha. Because I can't formulate it in a hein and lav. Rav agrees, even though Rav disagrees with Shmuel, that when you formulate a shvua in the past tense, it does not have to be able to be formulated in the future tense. He does agree that you have to be able to formulate it in the hein and lav, in the positive and the negative. Well, let's think about this. If I take a shvua that says that I know edut for an individual, okay, you could take such a shvua, and when you find out to be false, we're going to say, all right, chayav, wait. Can you formulate that in the negative formulation? Can you say, Shua, that I do not know Eidut for you? Well, why not? Sure, you could say, Shua, I don't know Eidut for you. What's the problem with that? Well, you know what? In the Parsha of Karban Olevi Oreid, there are three categories there. You know what the three categories are? Right, there's Tumat Mikdash Uktoshav. There is Shvat Bitui, which we've discussed so far. And there's a third case, which is coming up later in the Gemara in Shvot, which is Shvat Haidut. Shvat Eidut is a case where you take a shvua that you do not know testimony for an individual. That's a different category of shvua. So the problem is here that I cannot formulate a shvat bitui in the negative formulation. Because as soon as you make the negative formulation, it becomes a shvat Eidut and not a shvat bitui anymore. So that's what Abaye says. Abaye says Rav's going to agree in this case where I cannot formulate it in the positive and the negative. Why? Because the failure to formulate it in the negative is not because you can't say it. It's because when I do say it, it becomes a different category of shvua. It becomes a category of shvua, shvua te'idut. So that's what Gemara says. Ho v'lete b'chlau, she'enu de'lecha idut. So since you can't formulate it as enu de'lecha idut, because that becomes shvat ha'idut, therefore it will not be a shvat bitur that you have a hein and a lav in it. So that's why Rabbi says Rav will agree in that case. Now, case of yadati v'lo yadati. A person says, I did know testimony, or lo yadati, I did not know testimony for you. So that's, again, formulating in the past tense. Yadati v'lo yadati. Tosfos points out over here that we're talking about a case where the testimony is not relevant. Meaning that it's not that a case where the testimony is relevant to the case necessarily, because otherwise you'll have a problem being a shvat eidut, even according to Rav. So there is a machloket. This will be the machloket of Rav and Shmuel, because it's eidut yadati v'lo yadati. Right, that's something I'm formulating in the past tense. So now, can I formulate it in the future tense? Well, it doesn't matter. According to Rav, it doesn't matter. So I'm chayav over here because I don't care that you can't formulate it in the future tense. As long as you can formulate it in the past tense, that's fine. Again, as long as the testimony is not relevant over here, so it's yadati v'lo yadati. Now, Shmuel, on the other hand, you cannot formulate this in the future tense. Why not? Because what are the possibilities in the future tense? Shvua she'yodeh lecha idut? Shvua she'eni yodeh lecha idut? What's the problem with that? So Rashi over here says something strange. He says, Mushva Bomin Mihar Sinai. He says, Mushva Bomin Mihar Sinai. It's very strange. If that statement makes more sense on the next piece of the Gemara, not on this piece of the Gemara. The problem here is that, what are you doing over here? Shvua right? Shvua that I will know for you, Eidut. Shvua that I will not know for you, Eidut. What are you doing? This is the equivalent of saying, Shvua that so-and-so will throw a stone. Shvua so-and-so will not throw a stone. You're taking a shvua about somebody else or something that's out of your control. You're taking a shvua about whether you're going to know Eidut in the future? What are you talking about? We have no clue. You have no clue whether you're going to know Eidut or not know Eidut. How can you know that you're going to put yourself in a position where you will know the Eidut? So that's the problem. The problem of formulating the future is not mushva omer mihar Sinai. The problem is that you can't formulate something that's out of your control. According to Rashi, it's a shvua shav, and we just mentioned before, according to the Rambam, this is also a shvua shav. Over here, when you say Shvuah, that I will know Edut. I will not know Edut in the future. That's also a Shvuah Shav according to the Rambam right away. As the Lech Mishnah points out, there's a difference between this case and the case beforehand where we said about someone takes a Shvuah about someone else throwing a stone or not throwing a stone. In that instance, true, it's not within your control, but the other individual could be a nice guy and actually help you to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So therefore, we say it's not a Shvuah Shav until we're certain that the other individual will not help you out or will not be Mekayim the Shvuah. On the other hand, over here, the other party has no ability to make you into an aid, or has no other ability to create the circumstances in which you will be an aid, or to ensure that you will give Edut. So since they have no control, even the Rambam agrees over here that that is a Shvuat Shav immediately, like Rashi. Now, Mushba V'Omed Mehar Sinai could have come up if you do sue the Edut, then it would be Mushba V'Omed Mehar Sinai. Hey, Dati V'lo Edati. I testified or I didn't testify, again, as a machloket. This is a machloket. Why? Because in the past tense, you're formulated. According to Rav, no problem. You can say, I testified or I didn't testify. That's no problem. So therefore, you're chayav. But Shmuel says, wait, you have to form that in the future tense. Again, how are you going to formulate the future tense? You know, testimony, you're going to say, Shva she ya'id or Shva she eno ya'id. That's mushvo med har sinai. If you know edut, you have to testify. You don't know edut, you can't. Right, testify over there. So that's mushvo med har sinai. There you can't formulate it in the future. So those will be subject to both of these machlokot. Bishlom al Shmuel, right? This works well according to Shmuel. Damar milta deleta baba lo mechayev le lishavar. According to Shmuel, says that something in the future that you cannot formulate. Therefore, the shvuah and the avar does not work. Now I understand why the Torah had to come up with a category called shvuat haidut. Right, I need a category of shvuat haidut. L'achi afka rachman le shvuat haidut michlal shvuat bitui. That's why the Torah took shvuat haidut out of the parsha of shvuat bitui in order to be mechayev you. In those instances, because if it simply remained a Shvuat HaBitui, according to Shmuel, you'd be Patur. You can't formulate in the future. Therefore, in the past, when you make a statement about whether you knew Edut or didn't know Edut, you would not be Chayav. So if it was simply left under the category of Shvuat HaBitui, you would not be Chayav. Along comes the Torah, as Mechadesh, there's a concept called Shvuat Edut, which you're Chayav for, and that's independent of Shvuat HaBitui. It doesn't have the requirement of past and future, and that's why you're Chayav by Shvuat Edut, and that's why the Torah goes out of its way to create such a category. Why did the Torah have to create a separate category of Shvuat Edut according to Rav? According to Rav, it could be Shvuat HaBitui and you could be Chayav. Why do you need a separate category of Shvuat Edut? So Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Abayi. The Rabbanan said this in front of Abayi. Says, L'chuvei Alei Tarte. So according to Rav, to be Mechayev twice. You're Chayev once on Shvuat HaBitui, you're Chayev once on Shvuat HaEdut. You're in violation of both of them. Says, Amru Tarte Lo Matzit Itu Amritu. You can't say two. Why can't you say two? Because the Parsha, the beginning of the Parsha, when it comes to the Parsha of Karban or Levi Orei that introduces all of these three, the first line is Vayaki Yesham Lechat Me'ele. Right? So what does it mean, Yesham Lechat Me'ele? You can only be Chayav once. Right? That's what he says. He says, the Amitu, the Tanya, we have a brace, Lechat Me'ele, Lechat Atam Mechavio, Vietam Mechavio Shtayim. From what's found in the Parsha of Karban or Levi Orei, which is Shvat Eidut, Shvat Abitui, and Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, you can only be Chayav once. So you can't have two Chayuvim, one for Eidut and one for Bitui. So it says, okay, according to Abaye, who says, no, it's not for a double Isur, then what's the whole point of Shvuat HaEdut being different than Shvuat HaBitui, according to Rav? So it's like Tanya, Bikulam Ne'amar V'Ne'alam, both by Tumat Mikdash Gutoshav, and by Shvuat HaBitui, it says V'Ne'alam, he forgets. V'Kan Lo Ne'amar V'Ne'alam, but Shvuat HaEdut does not say that V'Ne'alam, that he forgets. L'chayev Ala Mezid K'Shogeg, when it comes to Shvuat HaEdut, you're chayav on the Shvua, whether you did it B'Mezid, whether you did it B'Shogeg. The chiyuv is in, right? The chiyuv is for either way, as opposed to shvat bitui, which is only in the case of shogeg. That'll be the difference between shvat eidut and shvat bitui, right? Because shvat eidut applies even b'mezid, you'll bring a korban. That's not true by shvat bitui. So amalei rabbanon lebaye, ema b'mezid mechayev chado. Okay, good. By mezid, you only chayev for shvat eidut. B'shogeg mechayev tarte. By shogeg, you mechayev a korban both for shvat eidut and for shvat bitui. I understand, right? By mezid, it only works by shvat eidut, but by shogeg, you should have both. Samalu, lav hainu damre. Didn't I already tell you this? Right? Dami luchu, lachat, achat atam mechayvo, v'yatam mechayvo shtayim. I already told you, you can't have two chiyuvim. V'im mezid mi'ikatarte, by mezid you can't have two. The only time you can have two is by shogeg. And that says, already we have a miut in the pasuk. It says you only can be chayv once. You chayv once means shvat eidut and nothing more. Rovo amar, Rovo says no. Mishom nave davar shebichlal. Shvuat HaEdut was something that was subsumed or under the category of Shvuat HaBitui. V'yatza lidon b'davar chadash. And once it left Shvuat Bitui, it now is in a new category. En l'chabo el chidusho bovad. You only get the chidush that is generated over here.
That's it. Nothing more than the chiddush that is generated. If Shvuat Eidut is removed from Shvuat HaBitui, the only thing we focus on is Shvuat Eidut, it's no longer part of the category of Shvuat HaBitui. Michlal. Well, the implications from this are that the Abaye Sover Ita L'Shvo Bolam. That Rabbi thinks that that's not the case. That Rabbi thinks that there is a Shvuat Bitui. It's just we have a miut. There's a Shvuat Bitui, Shvuat Eidut, but I have a miut that says that I'm only chayav once. Right? It's the same thing that we have by Kimlei Derabim Minei, the Chakira. When you say Kimlei Derabim Minei, does it mean that the punishment's no longer there? Or the punishment's not, you can't give the two punishments. You don't get the other punishment, but maybe you have to be Yotzi De Shemayim. So it's over here. Shvuat Eidut, you can only be punished once. But if there is no Shvuat Eidut, maybe you could be punished for Shvuat Bitui. But then Abaye just said above, Mudeh Rav, Be'omer l'chaveiro, Shvua Shani Yodeh l'chaidut, Vishtachach t'lo yodeleh d'potor, V'ho v'lete b'eni yodeh l'chaidut. Right, so then we have that already. We had that from Abaye. Abaye said that above, that Rav agrees that a case of what you took in the past tense, you can't, because you can't formulate it in a hein and a lav. He says that there is no such formulation. There is no Shvuat HaBitui when it comes to Shvuat HaEidut. It says, either Hadar be'Abaye, Abaye reversed that position, and he now thinks otherwise. Mihai, vi baitim, the other possibility is chada minayu rava papa amra. One of those statements was said by Rav Papa, because Rav Papa succeeded Abaye and Rava as the Nasi or as the Rosh Yeshiva, and so people were confused about whether it was Abaye or Rav Papa said it. So we'll assign one of those statements to Rav Papa and not to Abaye, and therefore there will not be a stira between Abaye, the two statements of Abaye. Okay, we'll stop over here.